Tonight, breaking news, the emergency meeting now after that high school student shoots two faculty members. We have now learned the student had been kicked out of another school before because of a weapon. And the passenger plane, the captain, incapacitated, fainting, mid-flight. A pilot from another airline just happened to be on board. First, this emergency meeting tonight after that student shoots two staff members, his body found overnight 50 miles from the school. Tonight, authorities have now revealed he'd been kicked out of that other school because of concerns and because of a weapon. Parents tonight demanding answers on all of this in Mola Lenghi in Denver. Also tonight, this question in another case. Should the parents of a school shooter in Michigan be held criminally responsible too if the father bought his son's gun for him and if the parents allegedly ignored red flags, graphic drawings? That decision in tonight from an appeals court. The heated showdown on the Hill tonight, the CEO of TikTok grilled by lawmakers, and you'll see it. 150 million users in the U.S., the CEO promising that there's a firewall protecting your personal information from the Chinese government. You'll hear the fiery back and forth, Rachel Scott on the Hill. The dangerous tornado threat, large hail and flooding this evening into tomorrow from Texas all the way up to Pennsylvania. And we time out when this hits the Northeast. Rob Marciano with the track. That scare in the cockpit, the Southwest pilot suffering a medical emergency, fainting in midair. It turns out an off-duty pilot from a different airline on board that flight. And what happened next? Newly released body camera video tonight showing the deadly police shooting of a suspect who had allegedly stolen a pair of sunglasses at Nordstrom. He was unarmed, but the police chief is now saying tonight, Pierre Thomas reporting. The dentist accused of slowly poisoning his wife to death, now charged with murder. Their children in court today as their father was brought in. And the stunning text messages revealed here, the wife texting the husband, "I feel drugged," and what he texted back. The major ban tonight involving transgender women athletes and what this could mean for the Olympics. And more than a half million vehicles recalled tonight. They're warning drivers not to park them in your garage.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. We have a lot to get to. The CEO of TikTok under fire on Capitol Hill, what he claimed today about your personal information and China, and that passenger plane, the captain fainting during the flight. But we begin tonight with this emergency meeting just a short time ago amid troubling new revelations tonight after that high school student shot two staff members. Overnight, that student's body found some 50 miles away. And tonight we learned that the student had been kicked out of another school before because of a weapon. And that's why at this new school, he would undergo pat downs, unlike the rest of the students. Tonight, here are the images from inside the building yesterday. The officers there on the scene after those staff members were both shot, both recovering tonight, one having undergone surgery. And tonight, the new images here, high school students from across Denver rallying outside the state capitol today. They and their parents tonight demanding answers. ABC's Mola Lenghi leading us off in Denver.
Tonight, Denver's school board holding an emergency meeting with parents demanding answers after a student shot and wounded two deans as he was being searched for weapons inside his high school. Officials say the suspect, identified as 17-year-old Austin Lyle, was found dead in a wooded area 50 miles from East High School last night after a 10-hour manhunt. And tonight, law enforcement sources confirming to ABC News that back in 2021, Lyle was expelled from a different school after bringing a weapon. And in a separate incident, he was once charged as a minor with possession of a dangerous weapon.
When you find somebody who is in possession of a weapon, I feel like they automatically, they have to go. They're putting others in harm.
Lyle, whose school leaders described as potentially violent, began attending East High this year under a safety plan requiring him to be patted down and searched for weapons every day. In the wake of the shooting, officials announcing school resource officers from the Denver PD will now be posted at all public high schools after they were removed back in 2020. But parents still concerned.
We can't say, okay, well, we're just going to trust that they're going to figure it out. There's going to be two armed safety officers here in this giant school with over 3,000 of you. How do we just send them here and cross our fingers?
Sophomore Grace Tobb says the threat has become part of everyday life at East High.
This is so normal at this point. And it's not an East problem. This is a district problem, a city problem, a national problem.
Tonight, both victims now recovering. Dean Eric Sinclair remains hospitalized in serious condition, and Dean Gerald Mason, seen here smiling from his hospital bed, has been released.
Well, the Denver Public School District removed their school resource officers from campuses back in 2020 in the wake of George Floyd's murder. And tonight, the school board announcing that officers will return to campuses for the rest of this year. And David, they will vote this summer on whether to make that move permanent.
All right. Mola Lenghi leading us off tonight. Mola, thank you. Now, this school shooting in Denver comes amid a major landmark ruling tonight in another case. And it centers on this question. Can the parents of a school shooter be held responsible too? Tonight, a Michigan appeals court decided the parents of Ethan Crumbly, who killed four students at his high school, will face trial themselves for involuntary manslaughter. Authorities say the father bought his son the gun and that the parents allegedly ignored real warning signs. Here's Trevor Ault on that part of the story tonight.
Tonight, an unprecedented move from a Michigan court of appeals ruling the parents of school shooter Ethan Crumbly will go to trial themselves. James and Jennifer Crumbly have pleaded not guilty to four counts each of involuntary manslaughter for what prosecutors say was their responsibility in their son's 2021 massacre, killing four students and injuring seven others. Prosecutors say the Crumblys denied Ethan's request for psychological help, and soon after, Ethan's father bought him the weapon used in the shooting.
He bought him the gun.
Well, and the first thing he did when he heard about the school shooting was go back home to see if the gun was there. So certainly was on the top of his head.
Prosecutors say before the shooting, Ethan's mother laughed off a report from the school saying Ethan was researching ammunition in class, and say the day of the massacre, they declined to take him home after he was caught drawing a person shot. The Crumbly's attorneys admit the parents made tremendously bad decisions, but argue they shouldn't be held personally responsible for their child's crimes. But the judges noted the substantial red flags the parents allegedly ignored.
They were very clear that these are things that any objective, reasonable person would have looked at and seen warning signs. And that's really the difference between just parenting and what we see in this particular case.
And David, Ethan Crumbly has already pleaded guilty to all counts in this shooting, and he's facing the possibility of life in prison, but he may still be called to testify in this case, either for or against his own parents. David.
Trevor Ault tonight. Trevor, our thanks to you as well. We're going to turn now to the heated showdown on Capitol Hill today. The CEO of TikTok under fire from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle over your personal information, your privacy, and over national security concerns involving the massively popular TikTok app. The CEO trying to fend off a possible ban today on the Hill, promising that there's a firewall protecting your personal information from the Chinese government. But you're about to see the back and forth. Lawmakers were not convinced. Here's our senior congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott, on the Hill tonight.
Today, the CEO of TikTok swarmed by cameras on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers from both parties unloading right from the start.
TikTok surveils us all. And the Chinese Communist Party is able to use this as a tool to manipulate America as a whole. Your platform should be banned.
For more than 5 hours, CEO Shou Chu defended the wildly popular app and its Chinese parent company ByteDance, insisting the platform had taken steps to protect the data of its millions of American users.
There are more than 150 million Americans who love our platform, and we know we have a responsibility to protect them. We will firewall protected U.S. data from unwanted foreign access.
But there are serious questions about whether the Chinese government would ever respect that firewall. Lawmakers weren't buying it.
You spoke in your opening statement about a firewall relative to the data. But the Chinese government has that data.
I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what? I find that actually preposterous.
One member after another grilling Chu on whether TikTok and its Chinese parent company had spied on Americans, something the Department of Justice is investigating.
Has ByteDance spied on American citizens?
I don't think the spying is the right way to describe it.
Chu was asked directly if he agreed with top U.S. intelligence officials that China could use TikTok as a tool to manipulate millions of Americans.
Do you disagree with their statement?
Their statement says could.
So do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree.
Lawmakers today also raising concerns about how quickly harmful and dangerous content is able to be spread on the app. But at the same time, they recognize that millions of young Americans use TikTok every single day. So now the White House and Congress are forced to weigh its popularity with the risk. David?
That's a question for sure, too. Rachel Scott tonight. Rachel, thank you again. We turn next here to the dangerous tornado and flooding threat on the move tonight. 50 million Americans from Texas all the way up to Pennsylvania. It's the same storm that brought that confirmed EF1 now just outside downtown L.A. Winds up to 110 miles an hour. The strongest tornado in L.A. in 40 years there. A dangerous storm now moving quickly. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. He is live in Dallas tonight, where they're bracing for what could be a difficult night ahead. Good evening, Rob.
Hello, David. You can really feel the spring warmth and humidity here in Texas, and that's helping fuel some of those storms that were sparked by that California storm. They're bubbling up in Oklahoma. That's where a severe thunderstorm watch is, that Morrison 2.0 flood watch that extends all the way into West Virginia. Tonight, though, we got a threat for seeing a heavy rain, big-time hail, and big winds. Dallas back to San Angelo. A bigger threat for tornadoes, I think, tomorrow, Shreveport, Alexandria, Jackson, up through Memphis could see some strong tornadoes as well. The center of this low will traverse north and east across Missouri. That's where heavy rain, that's where the flooding rains will be, across Paducah and up the Ohio River Valley during the day tomorrow and tomorrow night. Some of this rain is going to be really heavy. It gets into New York City as well by Saturday morning, and some snow wrap around back through Chicagoland. Maybe some significant accumulations, but the most dangerous weather will be over the next 36 hours here in the tornado zone. David?
Rob Marciano in Dallas for us. Thank you, Rob. Next to that new midair scare, this time right in the cockpit of a Southwest Airlines flight from Las Vegas to Columbus. The pilot suffering a medical emergency, fainting in midair. An off-duty pilot from a different airline just happened to be on board and stepped in to help the co-pilot. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, an off-duty pilot riding as a passenger on a Southwest Airlines flight jumping into the cockpit, helping safely land the aircraft after one of the two pilots suffered a medical emergency mid-flight.
The captain became incapacitated while en route. He's in the back of the aircraft right now with the flight attendants, but we need to get him on an ambulance immediately.
The Southwest Boeing 737 flight from Las Vegas to Columbus, Ohio, departed Wednesday morning. Shortly after takeoff, that pilot becoming ill.
He started to feel some stomach pain, and then probably about maybe 5 or so minutes later, fainted.
The flight diverting back to Las Vegas. In a statement, Southwest saying a credentialed pilot from another airline who was on board entered the flight deck and assisted with radio communication while our Southwest pilot flew the aircraft.
These incidents happen very infrequently. In an instance like this, any kind of pilot can be helpful to that pilot left flying.
Southwest has not provided an update on that pilot's condition, citing privacy regulations. An alternate Southwest crew was able to complete the flight from Las Vegas to Columbus later that day. David.
It's a good thing that other pilot was on board. Stephanie, thank you. We're going to turn now to disturbing new police video. Newly released body cam images tonight showing the deadly police shooting of a suspect who had allegedly stolen a pair of sunglasses at Nordstrom's in Virginia. He was unarmed. What the police chief is now saying tonight, and here's our Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas now.
Tonight, officers with the Fairfax County Police in Virginia under investigation after one of them fatally shot an unarmed man who allegedly stole a pair of sunglasses. The story begins 1 month ago with 37-year-old Timothy Johnson at the Nordstrom's department store at the Tysons Corner Mall. Police say he can be seen here stealing at least one pair of sunglasses. Within minutes, police say, store alarms sound.
You set off sensors, right?
Yeah. Officers are suddenly in hot pursuit. This police body camera rolling.
Black male going towards 7.
It's shortly after 6 p.m. and dark. In the closing moments of the chase, it's not exactly clear what happens, but the two officers discharge their weapons.
Stop reaching! Shots fired! Shots fired.
According to police, Johnson is shot once in the chest. He's taken to a local hospital and pronounced dead.
It just does not make any sense at all.
The family's attorney says the officers were not in imminent danger. Tonight, one of the officers involved placed on restrictive duty. The other who fired the fatal shot dismissed from the force.
David, the police chief says that the actions of the fired officers do not meet the standards of his department. A local prosecutor is investigating, David.
Pierre Thomas in Washington. Pierre, thank you. Now to a case making national headlines. A Colorado dentist and father of six charged with fatally poisoning his wife by lacing her protein shakes. The children were in court today as he was brought in, and tonight the stunning text messages revealed here. The wife texting her husband, "I feel drugged," and what he texted her back. Here's Kena Whitworth.
Tonight, the dentist accused of poisoning his wife, formally charged with first-degree murder. James Craig appearing in an orange jumpsuit in a Colorado courtroom with family members, including some of his six children, looking on. Authorities say Craig dosed their mother Angela's protein shakes, then posed as a concerned husband at her hospital bedside, texting these images to a friend. Angela Craig's symptoms were a mystery to medical personnel. But Craig's business partner, who had recently confronted him about ordering potassium cyanide, a deadly poison, to their office, grew suspicious and told a nurse, leading investigators to Craig. According to his arrest affidavit, Craig conducted numerous online searches about poisons, including how many grams of pure arsenic will kill a human. News of his arrest surprising a former employee.
Shocking is just an understatement. Their relationship seemed like right out of a book, right? Fairy tale.
But text messages between the couple and court documents reveal a troubling history. Angela texting her husband, "I feel drugged after drinking her shake." He responded, "Given our history, I know that must be triggering. Just for the record, I didn't drug you." Angela's sister telling law enforcement Craig had allegedly drugged Angela approximately 5 to 6 years ago, and the two had a tumultuous marriage. Investigators alleging Craig wanted out to start a new life with a mistress and has gone to great lengths to try and end his wife's life.
And David, Craig waived his right to a preliminary hearing, but he will appear in court again early next month, and he could face a maximum sentence of life in prison. David.
All right, Kena, thank you. Overseas tonight, protests across France this evening after President Macron raised the retirement age there from 62 to 64 now. The strike's shutting down transportation, schools, and other services. In fact, in Paris, some protests turning violent. Unions tonight calling for another day of nationwide strikes when King Charles visits next week. When we come back here tonight, the major ban this evening involving transgender women athletes and what this could mean for the Olympics, reaction already pouring in. And more than 500,000 vehicles recalled tonight, the warning to owners not to park them in your garage.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
News just in tonight, the governing body World Athletics issuing a ban on transgender women athletes. Beginning March 31st, the organization says transgender women who went through male puberty will not be allowed to compete against female athletes in elite track and field events. Authorities say without any change, this would essentially block them from competing in the 2024 Olympics. To the index, and Hyundai and Kia recalling nearly 600,000 vehicles. They warn a faulty tow hitch assembly in some SUVs and minivans could cause an electrical short and fire risk. Owners should park outside, away from the house. It includes recent models of the Hyundai Santa Fe and the Kia Carnival. More on our website tonight. Finally tonight, America Strong, the grandmother at the piano. Tonight in Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts, 95-year-old Elaine LaBarre. She's been battling dementia for 15 years. Her family telling us she is slipping away with this disease. But when she sits at the piano, well, just watch when her daughter Randy requests a song.
You want me to play it?
Asking for Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, Elaine, unsure at first, saying she doesn't know it.
I don't know it.
That's fine.
Thank you. daughter telling us they are sharing these videos to spread awareness on dementia education and music therapy. Elaine playing every day at Keystone Place Senior Living Community. Playing Chopin's Minute Waltz. There's getting to know you. And I could have danced all night. And right here tonight,
hi, David.
Elaine and her daughter, and a performance for all of you at home.
Maybe you can play some Mozart.
Elaine's proud daughter, Randy.
I've heard from people all over the world that she has made an impact on, and it's been an amazing experience for all of us.
Tonight, Elaine, the piano player, and the power of music.
Yay, that was lovely. We'll say goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Elaine. Your music is beautiful. Keep playing. Good night.